This morning we read from John's Gospel, the 20th chapter. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." And we pray. These are your words, dear Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Please be seated. It's kind of trendy nowadays to talk about things like AI and AI assistants. But really, we've had some AI stuff in the past. And for people of my age and maybe older, you might remember a very particular famous AI assistant. I remember it was back probably late 90s, early 2000s. I feel like I was around 8th or 9th grade, and it was supposed to be a helpful thing with Microsoft Word. And as you might have guessed, that this AI assistant was terrible, absolutely terrible. This is the infamous, I brought a picture because some of you probably weren't born yet, but this is Clippy. This is Clippy. You know, your AI assistant in Microsoft Word. And so why is Clippy so, dare I say, infamous? Basically, it would pop up seemingly sporadically, and because, as you can see maybe a little bit, it's a little bit 3D-ish, and it actually soaked up those poor computer's resources, and it slowed everything down and could lag your machine. It was very infuriating. But for me, the frustrating part, you know, being 8th or 9th grade, is that there were some things about Word I didn't understand, and I legitimately could use help with things. But the thing is if you actually typed a question in to Clippy to have him help you, if you didn't, like, say the right keyword that would match the help file somewhere, it would be like, "I don't know what you're talking about. Try these other random unrelated articles." So, like, if I was like, how do I, you know, properly, I maybe could have said, "How do I adjust the margins on my document, Clippy?" That it probably could figure out. But if I'm young like I was, and I don't know all, you know, I don't know necessarily to use the word margin. If I say, "How do I change the sides of my page?" It's going to be like, "I don't know what you're talking about." But if I happen to know what the word margin was, and that was the technical term for the thing on the side, then I would have used that word, and he could have helped me. But without, if I'd have known it, I would have known enough to not even need his help. So it's very kind of self-defeating and frustrating that it needed the exact word so it could search in that help file for the article to help you. And very frustrating, very dark time in AI history. And I bring this all up because I think today the question we got to come up with is, are we in some ways like Clippy, that terrible AI assistant, when it comes to the forgiveness of sins? And so Jesus brings up the forgiveness of sins here right toward the end. And he says, "If you forgive the sins of any, they're forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they're retained." Now, is that something we actually see ourselves doing? I know before I wanted to become a pastor, stuff like that, I thought maybe this is an important passage for someone else. Maybe someone else will have someone come to them devastated by sin, and they will be the right person to help them. But surely this would not be something I would be called on to do. I mean, how many times do you think someone is going to come up to you and say, "Oh, I am devastated, I need the forgiveness of sins right now," and you'll be ready and waiting for that? It's easy for us to envision this maybe as a rare thing, maybe something that happens in church, but otherwise is a rare thing and probably a rare thing for us individually. But if you think about it, Jesus does not really treat this like a rare thing in how he presents this. He has that verbiage where he's talking about, as the Father sent me, I'm sending you. And so he's kind of saying and distilling down his ministry and saying, this is the stuff my ministry, my work was about, and this is the stuff I want you to do to continue this on. He could have said all sorts of other things. He certainly did many important things in his life and his work, but this is the thing that he's telling them, I want you to carry this on. And if you think about a lot of gospel accounts, even when forgiveness of sins aren't mentioned, often there is an underlying kind of detail where forgiveness and that need is in play. And this is the thing that Jesus wants carried forward. And for clarification, I mean, even though he's talking about forgiveness and he does mention retaining, even retaining sins there, really the goal is forgiveness there too. It's just that there are issues of non-repentance that need to first be worked through. But it goes to show that this forgiveness stuff is not something we willy-nilly do, but it works in connection with what God's word has said and what that has laid out for us. So on the one hand, I would say, yes, forgiveness that we have, like in church, forgiveness that we have, you preached, things like that, very important. And yes, if someone is devastated by sin, that's great if they can talk to a pastor, something like that too. But I think that this is not quite so isolated how Jesus presents it too. Because what about the people that aren't going to show up at a church? You know, what about the people that aren't maybe going to, they're going to have a feeling of not rightness, but they're maybe not going to be able to connect the dots. What's not right? What is the solution? Where would I even look for the solution? And so that's a kind of the great challenge this presents for us. Sometimes it's an issue of indifference on our part, or maybe self-focus, where we're not probably as concerned about others around us and their real spiritual needs that they might have for us. It takes extra effort to try to look for these openings to talk to someone about important things. But if we're waiting for someone to jump at us and say, I have a great need to hear about the forgiveness of sins, I mean, we're going to maybe be waiting quite a bit for that. It's easy for us to wait around and kind of be like, again, that Clippy character, where like Clippy is waiting around for the one keyword just to line up right, and then finally it does have an answer. But unfortunately, people don't, they're not always going to know the exact right word or thing to say. It's going to click in our minds to be ready to respond. And so it's not going to be like, someone is going to be like, oh, wow, I'm really craving forgiveness. Or they're not going to be like, I'm going to start this new thing called confession maxing in my life. They're not going to think of that. They're not going to be like, oh, my justification feels off today. That's not going to be, in many situations, how they express themselves. And yet, we know with Jesus focusing them on forgiveness of sins, that this is going to be an issue that he expects, being dealt with. Often, it maybe takes the language of regret. Maybe regretting a situation that a person got him or herself into and a mistake there. Maybe it could be regret over a failure, difficult getting over something. There are other ways that people express themselves that are actually underneath the surface more forgiveness or justification related. Maybe it's something about self-esteem, that people are crushed by the opinions that other people have for them, or they're finding their value and identity in what others think, or in things that aren't going to last, or things that are too fluctuating to really be secure. It could take the form of maybe sadness over a relationship that's lost, and they feel they had a hand in that too. So, I mean, there's all sorts of different things, because people are very particular. They're very particular. But these angles of forgiveness, justification, whatever, they happen in people's lives. Frankly, people will confess their sins to you. They absolutely will confess their sins to you. The question is just whether you're listening and whether you're there to heal them. And what helps us on this is when we remember how proactive Jesus is with our sins and coming and taking care of those and healing. Before we were born, Jesus determined to come to this earth to live in our place. Before we were born, he determined to die on the cross to pay for sins proactively. And before we were born, Easter occurred. He conquered death before we were born. And for many of us, before we could even speak a word, he came to us in baptism and washing and taking away those sins for us. He went through so many pains and efforts in his life, and he worked out things in your life to come with you, come to you with that message of forgiveness of what he's done to take on your sins and to forgive them and make that yours. And he's come to you and made that happen and worked faith and shown you eternal life through him. And so what a great thing that is. We want to remember, though, just as, you know, different people played a role in our life story to bring that about, certain people connected us with Jesus and the message and forgiveness and baptism and so forth. That's such a great and wonderful thing. But with Jesus sending and telling them to forgive, it's another way of saying, like, we also get to be a part of other people's life story. We also can be a part of other people's life story of how the forgiveness has been brought to them, and how that connection with Jesus has been either started out or nurtured and continued on and so forth. So that's a great, wonderful thing we get by grace. And so my big point here is for us as Christians to listen, to people, to listen so we can heal. This forgiveness of sins talk, again, is not an isolated or rare thing. We don't want to be like Clippy and just kind of wait around for the one key word that triggers something in our mind, but instead proactive in listening and being ready to help with words of healing for the people around us. We listen and we heal, and it's a great thing to do because it's the same thing we've been blessed with, that we have the same healing, we enjoy that very same thing now and into eternity, and we want that for others as well. Amen.